Well, my next guest is incredibly accomplished, experienced, and she's someone I've admired for many years. She's an international award-winning investigative journalist and a war correspondent and the host of Laura Logan Has No Agenda investigative series. Her career began in her home country of South Africa and led her to become chief foreign affairs correspondent for CBS News. What I like most about her is that she's fearless about the truth. And she's paid some heavy prices for it. I'm truth in medicine. She's truth in everything. And it gives me incredible pleasure. And it's my honor to welcome Laura Logan to the show. Laura, thank you so much for being. So good to see you. You bet. Thank you for the honor of being on the show. I want to welcome you. We have so much to talk about. You've had an incredible history. You've been all over the world. You've probably interviewed so many world leaders yourself. If you want to give us a little bit of an overview of that, that's great, because what I want to get to is your take, which I've heard several times, is stunning on what's happening to the world right now with this bioweapon mania.
Well, I started as a journalist when I was just 17 years old, and I worked all over Africa, in Botswana, Mozambique, Angola, you know, Burundi, Kenya, Uganda, and so on and so on. And then I moved to London, and I freelanced for the networks, for ABC and NBC, and I ended up in Siberia reporting on a series, and, you know, in the Palestinian territories, and eventually I ended up at British television during the Afghan war. And it was really my coverage there and time on the London news desk at CBS that paved the way for me to get a job at 60 Minutes. Mm. And I was there for 16 years at CBS News and 60 Minutes as a full-time correspondent by the end. And then, you know, with that, I traveled all over the world, right, from China across Europe, and obviously a lot of time in Asia and the Middle East and other places. And I have, you know, I spend a lot of time with the Taliban and others doing work in Afghanistan that not everybody wanted to do or was able to do. And I lived 5 years in Iraq at the CBS News Bureau. So I really came to know that story extremely well. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been fired, not really fired, but canceled from everywhere. In fact, I've been canceled from jobs I don't even have. I loved it when Newsmax said, "We're severing ties with Laura Logan," because I was like, "Oh, what ties?"
Yeah, they
we
just
don't have any.
They just want to be famous for doing it, for saying they did it.
Well, yeah. You know, I thought it was odd that they chose to make a stand about, you know, something that really had to do with children, because it showed their true colors, right? I mean, it exposed them. And so anyway, it is what it is. I don't really care about any of these places, because for me, they're two sides of the same coin. And I've been interviewing world leaders since I was 19 years old, and I'm 51 now. So I've been doing this a long, long time, and I don't give. Can I say rat's ass?
Sure.
I don't care very much.
Sure.
About what any of them say. I care about, I mean, this is real journalism is hard if you mm-hmm. do it right. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with subjects, you know, it used to be that, oh, well, you know, this may be difficult in a certain way, but at least it's not like Mount Everest. Now, every story is a Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. You've got to peel back the layers of deception, and there's traps everywhere because they want you to use this or that so they can discredit you in some way. And so much, you know, that you have to deal with. So I feel like every subject is a massive investigation, and it's just not humanly possible to be able to get through all of that. So, so I feel like I have so much significant work to do, and there are so few people doing real journalism and honest work instead of, you know, state-run propaganda, mm-hmm. that people are opening doors for me that in a million years would never have opened. Right. They want the truth to come out. There's a real momentum behind this, especially with things like child sex trafficking and other stuff that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. So I feel I have always had a purpose and a mission mm-hmm. To find the whole truth. And God is really the force beneath my wings.
So here's my question. It's kind of a question to a mentor. A lot of that uphill battle when you're a truth teller can sometimes come from within your own ranks. People with different agendas, people who are really there to be controlled opposition. They want to dilute mm-hmm. your... So do you just, you know, soldier forward and just say, screw it, I'm going... What's your best advice for those of us, you know, who are trying to do that now in this world of propaganda?
So it's a very interesting way that you put that question, because, you know, I grew up in not even knowing that, not even thinking of the world as in those terms, right? I mean, I was a journalist. I wasn't politically defined. I didn't belong to the left or the right or anything like that. And I was so offended if people would say to me, well, the media is so biased. You know, you're left wing biased. I'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, and they'll be like, do you get directed what to say? And I'd be like, these people are nuts. Like, is it someone's going to tell everybody what to say? But what I realized when I did the story for 60 Minutes on Benghazi, and it was just
great story.
I mean, that was when I saw what cancel culture was really about. That was when my first walk, face to face confrontation with evil. I had no idea. I really had no idea at the time. I just thought, you know, we did all the things that we said. We spoke truth to power and we worked our butts off and we were as honest as we could possibly be and we weren't biased. And then I realized, wow, when my world was torn apart by my own, right? Mm-hmm. By my own, because in a sense, you know, the bias is to the left mm-hmm. in most of the mainstream media and has been for a very, very long time. And what you realize is that the people that you believed were going to be better, like we all hated Cheney and Bush and all these people, right? I mean, I was on the ground in Iraq. I knew they were lying about everything. I thought, right. Okay, here come the good guys. And then I discovered, oh, wow.
It's worse. Us. It's us.
They're worse. And then, yeah. You know, you think that that's a revelation. And then you discover, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're the same.
Yeah, they're the same.
They're the same in the sense that there are certain issues that really expose the uniparty, right? In some ways, of course, you got people who are against abortion and people who are for abortion. And so they seem to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? But there are these issues that really expose the true colors of the uniparty. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at some of them right now. I mean, how come nothing gets done about big tech?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go there because it's us. It's us, right? This entire thing is us. You know, examples, Fauci can lie before Congress, before Rand Paul and all these people, Jordan, these supposed heroes. And I'm not citing, I'm just saying, but then they don't do anything. Nothing is done. No criminal referrals. So what's your take? Is this what the lockstep nature is? Everybody's bought off. I mean, what is the reality on the ground here?
The reality is there never were two parties the way we thought. The reality is that the globalists on the left are no different to the globalists on the right. They're two sides of exactly the same coin. And it's hard to see that that's truly one coin. Because you see all these differences, right, that you've always lived with and you've stood up for principle and you fought for what you believe in and, you know, and so on and so on. But what you really have to see is that, like, for example, fascism and communism, one is supposed to be on the right and the other is on, you know, far right, far left, right? Not so fast. Who doesn't believe in freedom of speech? Oh, neither of them. Who doesn't believe in freedom of religion in religion at all? Who doesn't believe in God? Who doesn't want churches? Who doesn't want liberty, right? Who doesn't want freedom of thought and diversity of thought? They don't want any of that. It's both of them, communists and fascists. And sure, there are differences, but there are distinctions without any real meaning. So what you learn over time is, you know, take a look at this uniparty, right? Look at what the GOP establishment just did. In the midterms, they supported people running as Democrats over their own America First candidates.
Correct.
Because it was never about Democrat versus Republican, ever. So it's like we've been living in a, you know, didn't Shakespeare say life is but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more? It's like that. It's like we're just, it's like the world is a stage. Shakespeare knew the world is a stage. And we're watching a great theatrical production take place all around us. And we just never realized because we thought it was all real. And if you go back and watch the movie Wag the Dog, which I did, you know, not so long ago, I watched it again. They tell you how they do it. They literally tell you how they do it, how you have a scandal so they create a crisis and how they count and how you both keep it going. And so where this brings us to is we're in a moment where our traditional understanding of what divides us, we're in a moment where they're creating a new us and them, right? Because the us is the people and the them are the people who want to rule over us. That's the new us and them. And when you see that, you realize, you know, people on the far left don't want to live under tyranny. And that's no different to people on the right who don't believe in heavy-handed governments and who want to see limited government and all the rest of it, right?
Sure.
I mean, I've been watching what happens, you know, on Truth Social and on Twitter and other places. And what you see more and more and more is that the left and the right agree over and over and over on all of these things. Look at The Intercept. You know, that's a far left publication that just did a huge expose on Anomaly Six, which is a company that's offering, you know, this full-time surveillance, right, of the intelligence agencies and everyone else. And you know what? People of all faiths, people of all races, people of all classes, people from all over the world are saying, wait a minute. I don't want to be surveilled 24/7. I don't want a digital ID. I don't want a digital currency. I don't want Big Brother watching over my every move. I don't want to eat insects, by the way. And you can take your fake meat cell-based plant BS and shove it where it belongs.
Yeah,
right.
I hate
there's no
that.
Sunlight,
yeah.
And it's not going to grow.
You know, Laura, I wanted to ask you, getting... It is, I love the way you position that. That's the new us and them. Here's my concern, and I wonder what you think of it and where you get your hope around it. It goes back to, we have lots of evidence. I've interviewed lots of people with all kinds of documents. It appears to be a series of things that have happened over the years. We all get that. But it looks like a DOD operation, but what's above that? It seems to be coming at us like a swarm model from all sides, right? It's the mandates, and then they do things to surprise you. And I wonder just what you think about it and how we're going to overcome it and what it may take to overcome.
So it's funny that you ask this now, because I just spent a few days on this very subject, and I discovered the perfect way to understand it. And it's a concept called fifth generation warfare. And General Michael Flynn and Boone Cutler, his writing partner, have just written a book that is the Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. And this is a really important book. It's a quick read. It's not out yet. You can, I think it shortly, the pre-orders, sales will be coming out, right? And it'll be out 30 days after that. But it's just a few hours, 3 to 4 hours read, and it really helps you understand. If you imagine that we are in World War III, and it has been underway for years, and it's accelerating. But this is a war unlike any we've ever seen before, because instead of invading by land or sea or air with conventional forces and armies and tanks and everything else, the invasion has been silent, clandestine, and deceptive. And you use weapons such as drug warfare, right? You use narcotics as a weapon of war instead of just missiles that everyone can identify them and see them for what they are. They know that if you attack a country from the outside, it unifies the people. And the most critical component for you to set the stage for fifth generation warfare is to divide a country. I will never forget the moment in 2016 when you just had two terms of the first black president of the United States of America, right? Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, you know, more than 70% of the population of this country is still white. So to elect a black president twice, you had to have most white people vote him into office. And Barack Obama himself, in his exit interview with Rolling Stone magazine, anybody can look it up, he said, the problem, the reason we lost is that the white working class voters who voted me into office not once, but twice, didn't vote Democrat this time around. So he admitted that the very same people he would turn around and in the next breath, he would brand them as white supremacists and Hillary Clinton would damn them forever as deplorables, right? And they would be condemned to the fringes of alt-right lunacy and racism and misogyny and xenophobia, homophobia, you name it. He admitted that those people voted him into office twice. So they couldn't be racist, could they? This couldn't be a systemically racist nation because you just elected
that's
a black
right
man.
That's right. What
for
what,
the first time in history.
Right.
Right. And so when you look at that, they need to have us divided. And what you are seeing, all these fires, whether it's the transgender militancy or it's the attack on our kids or it's the push towards Marxism or it's the COVID vaccines and the lockdowns and the blah, blah, blah. What all of these things are, these are battlefronts.
Yes.
In a fifth generation war that we've never seen the likes of before. And the plan here is not to take over, to invade, win a war, and then take over. The plan is to take over already. We are already living under the policies of the New World Order. The immigration policy we have, the open borders, that
wide
wasn't
open.
Voted on by Democrats or Republicans.
That's right.
That wasn't discussed or debated in the 2020 election campaign. No American got to vote on that. And what they did is the open border ideologues and psychopaths, once they got into office, they began implementing the United Nations Global Compact on Migration, a policy agreed on at the UN in 2018. That's their policy. A bunch of unelected bureaucrats. We didn't elect those leaders. We elected our leaders, but they didn't ask us if we wanted
correct
to sign up and agree to these things. And what they did is make migration a human right, which now trumps our God-given rights. And we live under a globalist policy that obliterates the sovereignty of the United States and paves the way for the end of nations and nation states and superpowers and the world we know, and sets the foundation for us to be ruled by a tyrannical technocratic government that is willing to use absolutely anything to slaughter animals and destroy farmland and starve people to death just to hold on to power.
Exactly. Here's my issue. There's no one but us. People keep waiting for someone to do something. I don't mean to pound. Maybe I do mean to pound Congress. Let's just go. Silence. Dog and pony shows leading to nothing but donate buttons. No one really doing anything.
Yep.
Maybe a letter goes to SecDef Austin. Big deal. That took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
I'm just
theater.
What?
It's just theater. Right?
How do we, over and over again. We're not going to. These are all collapsed agencies. We have no government. I agree with you. In terms of
yes, in many ways we don't have a government. We have basically a rogue government that is disregarding the Constitution, disregarding American law, disregarding our constitutional rights, and absolutely everything that has made this country great. They just trample all over it with impunity. Fortunately, you know, you do have some people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been savaged. And she went down to the prison, and she's one of the few who's really made a song and dance about the January 6th prisoners, American citizens, political prisoners who've never been convicted of a crime, some of whom have been in solitary confinement for 2 years now.
It's terrible.
2 years.
It's terrible.
And they haven't even, they've been denied, you know, habeas corpus. They've been denied their rights. And it's an outrage. But what have the Republicans been doing about it? You know, what you see them doing is enabling the absolutely false narrative that there was any type of insurrection.
100%. 100%.
The only insurrection was the one carried out by Obama, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden, and all of them
Nancy
who
Pelosi.
Involved in the treasonous and seditious conspiracy to remove Donald Trump from office and deny a legally elected president.
Of course, of course. And we've got about a minute left, so I want to get a quick take.
Okay.
I appreciate a lot of things that some of our representatives have done, but it's almost like they just get slapped back down to behave. We're not going to get anywhere
they
with
do.
Them, right?
Because they do. You know, that's why I have regard for Matt Gaetz, because that man, when he stepped up, boy, they went for him, right? And they went for the throat. They wanted to get the jugular and rip it out. And Matt Gaetz was like, hell no, I didn't do this. I'm not messing around with underage girls. You guys can get knotted. And he stood his ground. The same way Carrie Lake is standing her ground in Arizona.
She must.
And Mark Fisham is standing his ground.
I Absolutely.
Mean, these people are holding the line on behalf of all of us.
And
we owe them.
Yeah. And speaking of Benghazi, I saw that John Tegan was part of this movement in, you know, in, to take back Arizona and do whatever they need to do. It was good to see him because I've interviewed him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris Peranto in my previous life show. Let's take a break here. Super excited to have Laura Logan with me, and we're going to resume our conversation when we left off talking about the Uniparty. Laura, I want to shift to some of the incredible work you're doing with General Flynn and so many other people. You're a board member of America's Future. First of all, tell us a little bit about the organization and how it came to be.
Well, the organization is run by Mary Flynn, General Flynn's sister. And, you know, it's quite something to be around that family, because they have, they're not called the Fighting Flynns for nothing. They have stood their ground in the face of relentless, absolutely relentless and savage attacks that are completely and utterly untrue and unfounded. And so for me, you know, I knew Mike Flynn long before any of this happened. I knew him because I spent so many years on the battlefields of Afghanistan and Iraq. And you know what was interesting to me? Everywhere I would go, Iraqis and Afghans would come to me, the senior leaders in their governments and their armed forces, and say, you know, can I ask you something? Do you know General Flynn? Do you know General Flynn? Do you know if he's coming back? You know, and they always wanted General Flynn back. And it was because he truly respected these people and their culture and everything about their way of life. He was always brave enough to be honest with them, and they always wanted him back. And that said everything to me. So, you know, when he was later attacked for being Islamophobic and this and that, blah, 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 I knew it was all nonsense. Plus, you've got the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, who is the top spy in America. And you've got, you know, people like New York Times printing articles saying, quoting people saying they were shocked to be in a meeting and find that General Flynn didn't know that weapon sales have to be approved by Congress. In fact, he was just an intelligence officer. And it's like, people, do you know why the Defense Intelligence Agency was created? I mean, their charter is to track American-made weapons from beginning to end. I mean, that's why they were built. I don't think the guy running the agency had no idea he had to go to Congress to get weapon sales approved. I mean, so this is where, you know, that's what brought me into conflict with my, that's how I began to realize, hold on a second, I'm living in a bubble here because I'm pushing the walls. I mean, I'm giving you the truth. I'm showing you, I'm sending it out to everybody at CBS. I'm showing you that it's impossible for this to be true. And what do? Parrot it out on the CBS Evening News that night, you know, as the lead story. And they didn't care about the truth. And so it was sort of inevitable, you know, it was inevitable that we were going to part ways. And then when I saw that CBS removed themselves from Twitter out of an abundance of caution because, oh my goodness, Elon Musk is taking, I'm just like, for crying in a bucket. Are you kidding me? You know, you're going to silence and censor your employees and ban them from a platform because you're afraid of free speech?
Wow.
I mean,
that must have been hard to watch. That must have been so hard to just observe. you know, you probably had to shake.
You know, it was quite satisfying because it told me that whether or not I was targeted over Benghazi, I think I was really spared in many ways. Because, you know, people have a very difficult decision. It's like you said, you know, how do I deal with this, right? It's hard to give up everything. Mm-hmm. People have families and they don't, you know, and you build relationships and things, you know, what you do often becomes part of your identity. And it's not always easy to give all that up. I wasn't given the choice. It was ripped out from under me, mm-hmm. you know, and that truly opened my eyes. I got to discover the whole world of Fox and what it was like to be on the other side, and that there really was another side, and it really was legitimate, mm-hmm. you know, made me aware of how entrenched we were in our own bias. And that didn't mean there was nothing of merit in what we did, but it's just that, you know, as my old boss at 60 Minutes said to me, he said, my greatest achievement at that show was making us aware of our own bias. Mm-hmm. And it was underappreciated by everyone except the audience. And I never forget the things that he taught me because they were so true. And they really have helped me understand and help me explain it to other people, right? So I think it is very hard when you find that you've got all the walls closing in on you and this world, you know, that you live in. But the reality is, I don't look at it anymore in terms of what I'm losing or what I'm risking mm-hmm. or what I'm giving up. I realize that none of this is real. Mm-hmm. And instead of this being a burden, this moment in time, right, this fight that we have to take on, it's a gift. We have an opportunity to define, you know, what the media will be and what our society will be for generations. You know, the generations before us didn't get to do that. This is the most critical moment that any human being could face. We, you know, what we do now will change everything.
Absolutely.
Forever.
And you're echoing
this. And the window is closing, Jane.
I agree.
It's not going to be open forever.
I tell people that all the time. It's in military terms, it's DEFCON 1. You are echoing the thoughts of the late Dr. Zelenko, who said this is the greatest time to be alive. And when I heard him say that, he said, because you the enemy has revealed itself and we are about to see yes. the light come into the darkness. I love that you're pairing up with General Flynn. I've had incredible interactions with him through the Reawaken tour. I have great respect. He's rock solid. I've never seen anybody love the country like he does.
And he cannot be bought. He cannot be bought.
He's rock solid.
And they are terrified of him. They're terrified of him because he knows where they buried the bodies and he knows how they did it and he knows how it all works. And they had to target him first because he had Donald Trump's ear and his respect. And they could never, ever, ever have walked into the Oval Office mm-hmm. and given those BS briefings about Russia and all that utter nonsense with General Flynn in the room. Because they wouldn't have even dared. That's why they never gave them the intelligence briefings when he was around. Yep. You know, I truly believe that there is much to be revealed about all of that still. And General Flynn fell on his sword for this country. So it's not just talk for him. He's walked that difficult path. And by the way, his wife, Lori, who's spectacular, walked it with him. They are high school sweethearts from Rhode Island.
It's an amazing story. And when I was in D.C., and working in the Office of Presidential Correspondence for President Trump for about 18 months, I got to be friends with his son, Mike Jr., who was very active at rallies, and it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun, and they're great people. I agree with you. I've met several family members. So America's future is about child sex trafficking, the drug invasion, something you've titled the fentanyl invasion. It's a cause that's it's got to be near and dear to everyone's heart. But as I told you earlier, I have a long history in my pharmaceutical experience in opioid addiction. And so I got to see a lot of aspects around the invasion, if you will, and where the problems were really coming from, even within that stinky hellhole of an industry. So tell us about what America's future is going to be doing. There's an incredible event. We'll get to that in a little bit. That I want people to be aware of. You're going to be highlighting it with General Flynn here down here in South Florida in a couple of weeks, I think.
So, Yes, on December 6th at Mar-a-Lago. So America's Future is really, you know, as you would expect,
Love the name.
It's all about the children, right? Because the children are America's future. And, you know, Mary and I have had so many conversations about this. We are launching a campaign that is really called hashtag Where Are Our Children? We are not okay with being a society in which you know, hundreds of thousands of children go missing, or they're trafficked for sex, or they're murdered in sadistic pornography on the dark web, hurt core, or they're abused and raped and killed in satanic rituals and traditions. None of this is okay. And so we are launching a campaign that is about all of those things. Most importantly, it will address and expose the fact that the child protection system that we have put in place with CPS and all the others is not protecting all of our children. Some 55 children a day in this country alone go missing from the Child Protective Services every day. Okay, that's every day. 55 children disappear.
Yeah.
How is that possible? What happens to the records? And just think about this. If your child or my child was abducted, I am going to be, I mean, I'm going to be relentless, right? I'm going to be the fire and the storm and the tsunami until I find my child. But when these children get taken, there's nobody to fight for them.
There's nobody.
And these
right.
Child Protection Services, CPS, they don't even look for them half the time. And this is absolutely unforgivable. So we are going to look and address that aspect of it, but we're also looking at homeschools and children who dropped out because of a COVID pandemic, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the children who are being mutilated and abused by the medical community and these deranged politicians in this militant transgender movement. That's got nothing to do with, you know, with real transgender people who are confused or whatever it is. It's got nothing to do with those people. It's this militant movement that is subjecting children to a lifetime of medical tyranny and enslavement and abuse.
Laura, let me ask you, before we get too far down the road in this, a lot of people have a concern about CPS, maybe even in pockets across the country, being part of the problem, maybe being part
they
of
are.
It. So tell me about that. What have you all discovered about that?
Well, I'm working with a group right now that is investigating a case where there's a pedophile who has been working with CPS for 20 years, and together they go into family court. Family court is not about the family. It is one of the most evil institutions in America. It has been misused and abused to the point where it is tearing families apart. And this has to stop. And what they do is target single mothers. They're often, you know, African-American or Hispanic because they're vulnerable. And they take their children from them. They discredit these single mothers in court. They destroy their credibility, and they take their children so that they can be raped to death and passed around in these pedophile rings. I can tell you that if you read the messages that, I mean, these people are truly and utterly evil. Messages from people in child protective services and in political positions and so on who talk about, they don't care anything about these children. They are willing to rape, they're willing to murder, they're willing to sell, they're willing to do absolutely everything. And for too long, vulnerable families, you know, have been so disadvantaged. When you're in a position, you can be targeted by CPS. I don't think people realize the power that organizations like CPS have. And I know there are good people that work there, and I know, you know, there are people trying to do the right thing, but there are way too many people who are not. No child. I mean, why are the majority of kids who end up being trafficked for sex have come through the foster care system? More than 80%, according to the NGOs and experts who work with that.
That's right.
Unacceptable.
That's
that
right.
is unacceptable, and it has to stop. They can show up at your door with a warrant from a judge and take your children, and you didn't even know that you were being investigated. That is wrong. There's no oversight. I mean, they say the police lack training. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? What about these lunatics? Many of whom are members of Antifa, by the way, and who have arrest records as long as, you know, the summer of love.
This is incredible information that everybody needs to know, whether you're a parent, grandparent, not parent-to-be.
This is why it's got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with this. We can all agree that no child should be raped to death for money. Mm. Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple to me. I don't have any confusion about it whatsoever. So you can call me a conspiracy theorist. You can say I'm crazy. I'm unhinged. I'm blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Because the only thing that matters is when you stand before God, and you know, a lot of these people don't believe in God. That's fine. They instead believe that somehow the universe created itself.
Yeah.
And that's pretty funny.
With this whole thing about the southern border bleeding wide open, and you've kind of coined the phrase the fentanyl invasion, and you also have talked about the sort of the drugs and the child sex trafficking operations go together. Explain to people how they go together and how they feed each other.
Well, it's really important. If we go back to that concept of fifth generation warfare, right? This is exactly what you were talking about. So on the one hand, you've got child sex trafficking. And on the other hand, you have a drug problem. Well, how are those two things related? Well, I mean, it's so obvious, right? I mean, if you take narcotics away, you know, how are you going to get people to comply? Mm-hmm. How are you going to get these kids and young girls and young boys and all the rest of it to do the terrible, terrible, terrible things that they do to them, right? How, and a lot of these people are on drugs themselves. So you take the drugs off the street, you take the drugs away, and I know you can't remove it entirely, but if right now we have an open border, right? And the amount of lethal narcotics pouring across that border is unlike anything that this country has ever seen. And a lot of people will say to you, oh, you know, oh, please, we've always had a drug problem. There's always been a border problem. This is nothing new. That is not true. With the introduction of fentanyl onto the street as an illegal drug, they changed everything. It is the most lethal street drug that the world has ever seen.
If you
look at the numbers, you can see in this article that I wrote that you read, it's for George Magazine. I'm very, very, very proud and excited to be part of the relaunch of that magazine and writing for George.
Very exciting.
And it's coming out in the second edition. And there's a graph in there that you can see put together by an amazing guy, Jason Jones, who's done this for more than 20 years. And it shows you literally, from the moment Biden got into office and opened the border, the seizures of fentanyl went through the roof. This is 50 times more powerful on average than heroin.
I'm glad you
said that. Once it gets hold of you, you know, there's another false idea that once, you know, that drugs are for people who are weak and make bad decisions and blah, blah, blah. That is not true. This is a narcotic that is designed to overpower the human body, right? It's to put you out. And it is so powerful. Anyone who's, if you talk to an addict, they will tell you, this will never let you go. Fentanyl will never let you go once it has a hold of you.
Yeah.
And it is so cheap. It is so cheap. They give it away free. So another lie is that, well, Americans, you know, they're responsible for this because they just want the high and want the drugs. They're giving it away for nothing.
Yeah.
Creating markets that didn't exist because the goal is to kill as many Americans as possible. People, when they're addicts, they don't join the army. They don't write letters to Congress. They don't hold down steady jobs and pay taxes. They don't build a superpower, right?
They don't
lead the world. You know what they do? They crawl up in a corner and piss all over themselves and vomit themselves to death.
That's right. And they're, yeah, absolutely. And I think people need to understand that it's this issue of the stigma of this is a full opioid agonist that, like you said, is 150 to 100 times more powerful than heroin. But what people don't understand about the drug is that it actually creates addiction. It can do it in one or two doses.
It's really quite extraordinary. And, you know, when I just want people to imagine in Kensington, Philadelphia, where this article is centered, there are 13 and 14 year old girls on the streets there giving sexual favors for $10 to get a $10 bag with 0.3 milligrams of fentanyl. And they're taking that and they're getting a bottle of water and they put the water in the cap and they melt that fentanyl in that cap and they shoot it into any vein they can find.
Oh,
because if you do it that way, according to the addicts, it's roughly six times more powerful and effective than if you snort it. So you do you see how these girls are submitting themselves to being trafficked sexually, to violence on the streets because of the addiction,
100%.
Right? So these things, that's why I wrote that, you know, sex trafficking and narcotic and fentanyl go hand, they're best friends.
They go hand in hand, yeah.
Right? Because what you are about to see is we're seeing overdose deaths on a scale that this country has never, ever seen, even in the 1980s, during the height of the crack cocaine epidemic, right? And all the overdoses and everything. The numbers, if you look at the graph in my article, are like this. And once you get meth and you get the spike. And then once the cartels took over meth, right? And once again, you have it. The Chinese introduced fentanyl as a street drug. DEA didn't even know what it was when it first hit the streets in 2011 and 12. And then they handed it over to the Mexicans, right? So that they could, again, increase. And you just see this spike from 2015. And then when Biden comes in, it goes to over 107,000
wide
people,
open.
About 107,000 overdose deaths last year alone. It dwarfs anything this country has known in the past. So people really need to understand it is not the same drug problem. And you can find fentanyl today mixed into every single drug that exists.
Really?
Into marijuana, into cocaine, into meth, and so on and so on and so on. And they're not going to stop. Because this is part of a war that is meant to conquer America from within. Just the way, you know, fentanyl eats your body alive from within. The same way that this invasion of a weapon that is being wielded against us by the Chinese Communist Party and their partners in the Mexican cartels, that is eating this country alive from within. And guess what? Our leaders know it.
They know it. It's sickening to me. Really, what you've opened my eyes to in this discussion, Laura, is that really the addiction, the fentanyl invasion is really part of the mass genocide and the takedown of the United States. And if people can look at it that way, using immediate addiction and all these things that befall these children and these other people that are addicted, it's part of the mass genocide. It's part of what's taking us down. We are getting close to being out of time. I am so grateful to you for the kinds of messaging, you know, that you're bringing to the table here and the educating. I want people to know, look, we're going to talk about December 6th is a very special event with you and General Flynn for America's future. We're going to put up on the screen here a link to where people can buy tickets. Lots of veterans are going to be there. You can honor them there. But where else can people see your work? We know George now, the resurrected George.
Yes, and what I'm working on is doing the investigative 60-minute style show that I had on Fox Nation. Laura Logan Has No Agenda is doing that show on my own independent platform, so that it can't be taken down, it can't be silenced, it can't be censored, you know, and so on and so on. But that's a big undertaking.
Okay.
And so in the meantime, I'm on Truth Social and I'm on Locals. And I do Q&As on Locals. I like to try to talk directly to my audience. I need to do more of that. I know. And I'm back on Twitter now that Elon Musk is back on there. I took myself off. I'm probably one of the few. I wasn't kicked off. I took myself off because of the trafficking issue. Because Twitter was knowingly trafficking in children and allowing that to happen all over their platform. And they wouldn't listen to the survivors fighting it. And I didn't want to be part of that. You know, one thing that I want to say, we need to figure out, and I think in General Flynn's book, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, I think that there are pathways to doing this. We need to stop financing our own destruction. Our tax dollars are going to Ukraine. Why?
Terrible.
You know, we know that it's funding the Nazis of Ukraine and the globalists and so on. And we're also funding the big tech companies that are slitting our throats. And we're funding
the
things
pharma.
Like, you know,
pharma.
Public education. We're paying for those schools
to
indoctrinate our
Absolutely.
Children. We have to stop paying to slit our own throats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Laura Logan, thank you so much. People can go to the website for America's Future. I can't wait to see you. I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to hear you speak and General Flynn. Thank you so much for all of this great information and for everything you're doing for the world.
Thank you so much.
God bless you so much.
Thank you, Jane. You take care, and God bless you too.